If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. As we go through Daniel chapter by chapter, verse by verse, I pray that you are in awe of the Lord as he has done some amazing things in and through the life of this young man, Daniel. We've watched his friends be thrown into a fiery furnace, and Jesus was with them, and they came out unharmed, untouched. And all those who saw it, their lives were changed. The king himself gives praise to the Almighty God. We see him interpreting dreams that could only be known if the Lord was with him. And so now, following the incredible military upset, the Medes and the Persians are now in control. Remember the image that we saw while those things happened. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, and now we see the Medo-Persians taking over Babylon, just as God said so. And we'll pick it up in verse 1 through 9 in chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the king 120 satraps, which are governors or rulers, to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, in whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was with him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge or fault because he was a faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, well, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, and the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. And therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So once again, Daniel is shown favor from the Lord. He's put in a high position. He is now one of the three governors overseeing the whole kingdom. But notice the jealousy that has crept in. Daniel was such a faithful man that those who sought to find a flaw in his actions or character, they came up empty. This isn't to imply that Daniel was actually sinless, because he was not, but that he was a man of great integrity. These men knew Daniel well. They knew he could not be trapped into evil, but they also knew that he would be faithful to his God in all circumstances. Let me ask you this question. Do those around you feel the same about you? That you are faithful? That you would not compromise, that you would be dependable to your God? Wow, that's a heavy question, isn't it? Because I think some of us at some times can say yes, oh yeah, for sure. But that we have fallen in other areas with those same questions. Daniel was someone who God has blessed, like God has blessed us. If we each took an account of all the blessings that the Lord has given us, the place that we live, the people around us, we would really say yes, the Lord has truly blessed us. The Lord has truly shown us favor. We may have messed up in life and done silly things and suffered the consequences of that, but God has truly blessed us. Is our reputation one of integrity and faithfulness in the things of the Lord? Well, I pray that it is, and I pray that it has, if it hasn't been, that it would start to, that we would continue along this path of children of God. That our hearts and desires would be to serve him in faithfulness. Because you know why? We're going to meet him one day. And I love that song that we were singing. Jesus is going to actually lead us into the presence of our Father. He is the one who's going to accomplish that. So we're going to meet Him one day. But while we're here, we have an opportunity and a challenge, listen, to make disciples, followers of Christ. People are watching you. How many times have you heard me say that? Almost every week, right? People are watching you. What does your faith look like? What does your character look like? Can they trust you with a secret? Or are you you're going to go tell people? Can they trust that you would pray for them when you say you pray for them? I pray so, right? When you say yes, is your yeses yes and your noes no? Or, well, you know, something came up and I'm not going to make it. Yeah, but you said you'd be there. Wow. Heavy burden, right? Something to consider about our lives. And God has given us examples to follow. So we're watching this young man. Listen, he's in captivity. He didn't want to be there in the first place. He was taken from his land of Judah into Babylon in captivity. He is a prisoner, and he's serving the kings that are there. But notice, as we've walked with Daniel through the first five chapters now into chapter 6, we see the same thing, right? Consistency. Not compromising because of what is going on around him. He's living in a foreign, ungodly world, but he is not compromising. Isn't that what we should be doing? We are living in a fallen, ungodly world, but our lives should reflect that of our King, Jesus, right? And our lives should be faithful. And that we shouldn't be compromising in the things of the world to get ahead. Because at the end of the day, what does it really matter? We're not taking anything with us. Oh, look at all the stuff that I did. Yeah, but you compromised your faith. You didn't stand firm. And that now there's shame attached to that. Now praise the Lord and thank Him that He doesn't scratch our name out of the Lamb's book of life every time we sin, because we know, as Scripture tells us, that we have confessed our sins. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. The Spirit of God then dwelled in us and is a seal and a guarantee of our inheritance. But listen, if you were here Sunday, I said, if your love reflection was the standard of the church, what would the church look like? And I'm sure some of you said, hey, it would be great, right? Others said, nay, maybe not so much. But listen, we are the church. We are God's people. We are God's ambassadors here on earth. No one else in the world is lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and walking by faith but His people. We are a special, unique group of people, saved by grace, sinners saved by grace. We're not perfect. He is perfect. He has imparted His righteousness into us, and this is what now the Father sees, and one day we'll be there. But we're here today, and we can't avoid sometimes the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. Why? Because God is sovereign. And God is in control. And He is orchestrating every day of our life. Now you may make a foolish decision and once again suffer those consequences. I mean, you may rob a bank. Well, the bank teller may forgive you, but the state of Florida's got a place for you to stay for a little while. Right? The state of Florida's not going to forgive you, but the bank teller may. But be that as it may, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Every part of it. You may not like some of it. Joseph was thrown in the pit and rejected by his brothers. He's then gone into slavery where they forget about him. Potiphar's wife wants him to sleep with him. He ends up in prison. Who would sign up for that retirement package? Of course not, right? But listen, all along the way, God was working out His plan, and God showed him, Joseph, favor, just like He's showing Daniel favor. And at the end, God shows the plan for their life. There was something that they couldn't see at the end. They didn't know it was in the next chapter of their life, right? Don't give up. Don't give up. You might not like this chapter in the book of your life, but there'll be another chapter. There'll be another opportunity, right? Focus on the things that are important. Focus, listen, on the things that are eternal. Who would not benefit from him being unfaithful? He would, right? If he compromised, he would suffer probably the circumstances of compromising. And when I say suffering, he wouldn't get the rewards that would await him for his faithfulness. Daniel is someone for us to look at and say, am I that faithful? Number one, do I know what I believe, right? Do I know what Scripture believes? Am I following the right Jesus? Because there's all kinds of Jesuses out there. We're following the Jesus of the Bible, right? Amen. And then when we find ourselves in compromise, are we turning because it's the thing the world is doing? Or are we staying firm because this is what God says to do? Remember, Jude tells us the condition of the church in the end times will be apostasy. Jesus says it as well. Ungodly men have crept in unnoticed, and now they're in leadership positions drawing the church away from the faith. We're seeing it today. Mainline denominations falling away from what they originally believed. McLaren says this, "The world may not know the intricacies of doctrine or the intimacies of worship with God, but they can tell a bad temper. They can recognize selfishness, conceitness, or dishonesty when they see it." Wouldn't you agree? The world is a very poor critic of my Christianity, but it is a very sufficient one of my conduct. You see, my conduct, what I do, what I say, reflects my relationship with Christ. You can't get around that. Now, you can fake it for a little while, but he knows everything, right? They could not find no fault in him to exploit him. Here's what they did. So they went after his faith. Listen, when you're in the workplace or in a situation where people are trying to find something wrong against you, they're trying to rattle your cage. Well, you're not responding to the name calling or all these kinds of stuff. Because I was there. I was there. Remember I told you after I got saved, I went to work. They didn't have a party for me. Right? So if they see you not being moved, they'll go after your faith. They're going to come. Satan's going to come after you one way or another. But stand firm. Why? God is with you. God is with you. Whether you're thrown into a fiery furnace or you're at the jaws of a lion, he is with you. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, and even if he doesn't save us from the fire, we will not bow down to you, King. Wow. That's an example for us to follow. Now listen, none of us are facing such a challenge. But we find ourselves in different circles, whether it's in a workplace or a party atmosphere, where we can compromise. We can compromise with our language, with our jokes, with our thoughts, with our behavior, places we may go. Now, thank God we're not facing fiery furnaces or the jaws of lion, but nonetheless, it should be easier for us to be faithful, right? But do we? and you have to answer that. Because I probably don't look like Daniel now, but I want to, right? I want to be a picture of a man who is faithful, who doesn't compromise all the time. Because we may win today and lose tomorrow. Just get back up and keep fighting, right? So they couldn't find anything against him, so they go after his faith. If the enemies of Daniel knew him, they also knew Darius. They knew they could appeal to his pride and desire for a unified kingdom. And so all the governors in the kingdom and the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and the advisors, they have they consult together. They have this big meeting. Well, they don't invite Daniel to this meeting. Daniel's enemies also knew that people can be persuaded to do things they wouldn't normally do if they think everyone else approves of that thing. Wouldn't you agree? Like if everybody in the church did something, you'd feel out of place if you're not doing it. Whether it's right or wrong, you'd feel out of place, right? But if it's wrong, our conscience should tell us, hey, we shouldn't do it. I don't care who does it. You ever hear this? Well, if your friends jump off the roof, would you jump off the roof? Because I used to hear that all the time. And I would respond, well, if I had a parachute, you know. Wise kid, right? Look at your life. Some of us are living great. Praise the Lord for that. Others of us are struggling with compromise in what we do, what we say. Know this, Satan will try to come after you. If you're faithful, he's going to come after your faith. If he can't move you to sin, he's going to challenge your faithfulness. He's going to have you question. What was the first thing that Satan did? He questioned the word of God. Did God really say, don't eat of the fruit? That's the first thing he did, was challenge mankind against the word of God. Did God really say, you surely won't die? Doubt and deny. Those are his two things he does, and he never changes. Creates doubt, did God really say, and deny, you shall surely not die. Now, it was established principle in the Medo-Persian Empire that when a king formally signed and instituted a decree, it was so binding that not even the king himself could change it. So this is why this happens. The decree of the Persian king were unchangeable because he was thought to speak for the gods who could never be wrong and never needed to change their minds. And so this is why the king could do nothing about it once he signed the decree. So notice what Daniel does in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. He didn't care what the men around him were saying. He was going to be faithful to his God, as he's done in the early days. Why would he change? He's witnessed amazing miracles and favors from God. Listen, so have we. So have we. Look back on your life and the situations and the things that have happened, and you can calculate. So often we forget the prayers that were answered, the situations that we were in. Oh God, if you get me out of this, I'll come to church twice a week. Wednesday and Sunday. And when we look back, God answered those prayers. How often we forget. And the miracles that he's done. Change the circumstances around us so it worked out in our favor. So notice the attack came when Daniel was in prayer. Most likely you're not going to be attacked when you're out fishing and playing golf, right? Your mind's not on the Lord. It's when you want to sit down at night and read the Bible and you start yawning. Oh, I better get 8 hours of sleep today. Why? Because you're reading the Bible. If you weren't reading the Bible and watching TV, you'd be wide awake, wouldn't you? It's when you want to serve the Lord that there's that attack that happens. Am I the only one? Listen, don't be surprised, but it's when we're praying that distractions come and fatigue sets in, because the enemy knows that if he cannot stop us from praying, he has neutralized what God desires to do in and through our lives, not to seek him. Verse 12 through 15. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decrees that you have signed, but he makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. Note that word, himself. Doesn't say he's displeased with Daniel. He realizes what he has done at this point. His heart has to be breaking at this point because he realizes, because he knew that Daniel was a faithful man of his God. And he was displeased with himself And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So Daniel was confronted with a test of loyalty. He wanted to render unto Caesar things rightfully that belonged to Caesar, but he would not give the government that which belongs to God alone, and that is worship and praise. Others might have considered it risky for Daniel to pray like this, but Daniel didn't. It didn't matter to him. I hope that's your heart. That no matter what happens in your life, that you're going to serve the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you're going to be faithful to Him. Daniel knew that the safest thing he could do was radically obey God. He knew what he was facing. He knows what is set before him, yet he chooses to honor the Lord with his life. It isn't hard to see why people are men pleasers. It seems as if people have the power to hire and fire us, to break our hearts and slander us, and to make us live generally miserable. You know, the power to obey God and stand for him comes from a settled understanding that God is really in control and that he's most important. What was Daniel's custom in prayer? He prayed in the upper room. This was private prayer made with no intention to impress anyone. He prayed with his windows open toward Jerusalem, remembering the place of sacrifice even when there was no sacrifice. He prayed according to Scripture because in 1 Kings 8, Solomon asked God to give special notice to the prayers of his people when they prayed towards Jerusalem and the temple. And may your heart and your supplications of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. He remembered that. Remember, he was a young teenager when he was taken into captivity. Remember that. He was young. He was probably around 16 at the time. And yet, listen, the wisdom of God and the truth was implanted in him at an early age. And now, as he's growing up, he's looking back and he's living what he was taught. He's looking out of the truths of God and he's standing firm in the midst of the storm. Did you get that? In the midst of the storm, who does he turn to? Well, I'm in a compromise. What do I do? He turns to God. He turns to what he knows. He knows to pray three times a day. He knows he was taught that. He knelt down on his knees, praying just as Jesus did in Luke 22, and as Stephen did in Acts 7, and as Peter did in Acts 9, and as Paul and other leaders in the church in Acts 20, and as Luke did in Acts 21. Kneeling is a begging posture, and we must all come to God as beggars. Heslop says that. Pleading to God in prayer and petition. And listen, he hears us. He wants us to come to him. Don't you think he knows what's going on in Daniel's life? Don't you think he knows what Daniel's facing? And yet, he gives him the strength and the courage to continue on in his faithfulness. He prayed three times a day, knowing that though a little prayer is good, much prayer is far better. We also remember that Daniel was one of the three governors over the empire, yet still had time to pray. It didn't matter what was happening in his day, he took time for the Lord. Wow. And I think sometimes we have to catch ourselves and say, Lord, have I given you any attention today? Have I lifted up my life to you? Why? Well, we got stuff to do and we're kind of busy and we got places to go. And if we don't catch ourselves and give God the first fruits of our morning and pray all day long as we go out, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. Bless these children as they're crossing the crosswalk to go to school. Fire truck goes by. Bless them. Lord, protect those people who are hurt or injured. Do you pray every time a fire truck or an ambulance goes by? I do. You know why? My mother told me to do that when I was a little kid, and I do it today. Sometimes we don't even think about that, right? Somebody might be on death row in a heart attack going to the hospital in an ambulance. I'm just making an example of a life of prayer and thinking of God all day long. Wow. He prayed and gave thanks because great prayer is filled with thanksgiving. Prayer and praise should always go up to heaven arm in arm. Spurgeon says this, like twin angels walking up Jacob's ladder and like kindred aspirations soaring up to the Most High. Prayer and thanksgiving, thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord that you have your right mind and sitting there today listening and you can comprehend what's being spoken, that you're able to walk on your own two feet, right? That you can function. We have so much to be thankful for, right? They found as they knew they would. Where is Daniel? Is he at the pool hall? Is he hanging with his friends? Daniel's in prayer. They knew that. Why would they know that? Because he's a man of God. And his life, listen, is reflecting his relationship with God. He's a man of prayer. You know, when Saul of Tarsus was struck down on the road to Damascus, that great light blinded him and he had the conversation with Jesus. And he sent him to a person that would help him because he was blinded for a season. And when the disciples saw him, they said, "Hey, this is a bad guy. Get him out of here." But God told him, he prays. He's praying. Something's changed in his life. He's not the same person he was. He's praying. Daniel was a man of faith and a man of prayer. For Daniel's prayer was both coming with God and pleading for his will to accomplish. That's supplications, right? The accusation here does not show due regard to you, O king. This was not true. Daniel intended no disrespect for the king, only a higher respect for God. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. And there's a lot to like about King Darius. And one of the admirable things about him is that he is displeased with himself. He doesn't blame anybody. He realizes that he should have known better, but that he got drawn into this trap of pride, right? Oh, we're going to make a big statue of you, and if everybody doesn't praise you, then they're going into the lion's den. Instead of blaming others, he knew that he was the fault. And we can be sure that he wasn't happy with Daniel's enemies as well, but he knew that ultimately it was his responsibility. Verses 16 through 23. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually," underline that word if you have your Bible, "He will deliver you." Now this is the king saying this. This pagan king. "Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed." The lords meaning governors. "Now the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.' Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den, So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever, or whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. That's an amazing story. Now, Darius couldn't sleep. He was up all night concerning Daniel. Early in the morning, he went out, certainly. And he cries out to Daniel. Now, Hebrews speaks of this in Hebrews 11:33, that as Daniel has one of, by faith, stopped the mouth of the lions. In Hebrews 11, it speaks of the men of God of faith. And by faith, this person did that. And by faith, Daniel stopped the mouth of the lions. So Daniel was preserved through faith, his trust in God, right? It wasn't about anything he did. It was about his relationship with the Lord. He trusted God. And though his cause was righteous, he was unjustly accused. Those things in themselves did not protect him before the lions then, right? Although he was innocent, it didn't protect him against evil man. Joseph was innocent when Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him, and he runs away and she grabs his cloak and says, he tried to rape me, and they throw him in prison, right? He was innocent, yet he had to go through this suffering. Guess who else was innocent who went through some tremendous suffering? Jesus was innocent. Jesus stood silent before Pontius Pilate, did not say a word because he was standing there in our place. And he suffered unbelievable torture and pain while here on earth, and the entire world's sin from the beginning to the end of time was laid upon his shoulders for you and for me. Now there's an instructive order here. The power of God sent an angel to protect Daniel. And in response to a prayer of faith coming from a consistent abiding walk. Twice the king recognizes that Daniel prays and serves the Lord once in a while, now and again, continually. Your life is to be poured out for the Lord. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. And wherever you're at, we're serving the Lord. No matter what your job is, you're light and salt. God may have placed you in the most miserable job in the world, but he put you there to be light and salt to those people that were there. And I may never be able to reach the people that God has put around you. And you may never be able to reach the people that God has put around me. So he's put us in specific places, specific times, and situations to glorify him. Now Darius honors God. Verse 24, the king gave the command and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all the bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. So those were some hungry lions. Wouldn't you think so? This proved that it genuinely was an angelic protection that saved Daniel. Daniel's accusers perished in the same trap that they set for Daniel. And this illustrates the cross in reverse, the guilty punished in the place of the innocent. We also have an illustration of the principle of spiritual warfare. In Psalm 7, God will cause our enemy to be impaled on the same snare set for us. Psalm 7, 14, 16. Now, it doesn't tell us that Daniel's prayer was, oh, God, kill these people. They're so bad. Don't you see what they're doing to me at work? I don't get a lunch break. Everything's going so bad in my life. Those aren't his prayers. His prayers are of praise and thanksgiving to his God. That was his prayers. That was coming from his heart. And notice the wives and the children were tossed in according to the custom of the Medes and the Persians. So, whenever we sin, the sad truth of the matter is that sin always affects those who are closest around us in one way or another, if we continue in that sin. These men sinned, and their wives and children paid the price along with them. Verse 20-27. Then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. That right there is a sermon from a pagan king who has watched God in action. We've seen this several times, right? Nebuchadnezzar gives God praise. Why? Because Daniel was faithful. They're looking at a godly man and giving praise to God. Ah, haven't we read that before in the New Testament? Let man see your works and give glory to God in heaven. Right? That's what it says, right? Let man look at your good works and give God the glory in heaven. Well, this is what's happening here. They're seeing the faithfulness of this man, Daniel. And the king is making a decree to the whole kingdom, this pagan kingdom, that Daniel's God is the true living God. And his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. That is amazing that this came from this king. But it happened because they watched God work through a man who was surrendered so that God could use him. That's it. His life, we can't look at Daniel, oh, he was so powerful. No, he was just a man surrendered to God so that God could use him. That's it. And that's all we are. Sinners saved by grace, Lord, I'm yours. If you're going to use me in this capacity, then I'm going to be faithful. He's put each of us in different capacities in life. Different friends, different relatives, different people, listen, that we can reach and make them disciples of Jesus, followers of Christ. Because listen, this curtain is closing. Jesus is coming back. How could we deny it? Scripture speaks of prophecy and end time events happening. The nation of Israel, 1948, is a nation. Prior to that, who is the nation of Israel? They don't have a nation. Oh, but it happened in our lifetime. We've seen it. Praise the Lord for that, right? Amen. The book of Daniel follows a familiar pattern. God's people stand firm in their convictions. God honors and protects them. And the testimony of God's work makes the ungodly see and tell of the greatness of God. That's just amazing. That's amazing. Verse 28. In closing chapter 6. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus and Persian. This is the last link in a long chain set through this chapter where we see Daniel plotted against, praying, praising, persistently serving, persecuted. He's protected. He's preserved. He's preferred. And he's prospered. Now, Daniel had to decide whether he would submit to an ungodly law or stick with his convictions. And as we saw, he chooses his life principles first. And he looks at six, perhaps, segments of that. Number one, weigh out the options that are in front of you, right? What can I do in this situation? Number two, ask if those choices force you to compromise your values, right? Is this, Lord, something that you would have me do, or is this something that I should not do? Seek wise counsel. Well, he did. Whose counsel did he seek? God's counsel. He went before the Lord. So often, now he's the last person that people go to. Oh, pastor, all these things are happening to me. And I talk to my neighbor and my husband and my friends, and they don't know the answer to that. Now I'm coming to you. Well, what did God tell you? Well, I haven't prayed to him yet. He's got the answer. I don't. Right? I'm going to lead you to the Word. Go to God. We may not understand why. Listen, we may not understand why we are in the situations that we may find ourselves at this season of life. but he knows. So the question is for you, are you trusting him? Do I have that trust in God that his promises that he is going to usher us into the presence of our Heavenly Father? Daniel maintained a set value and principles that enabled him to make decisions quickly and confidently. He knew where he stood. Child of God. He knew the teachings of the Lord. He knew his life should reflect that of one surrendered and a servant of God. So that when the compromise came, he didn't have to waver on it. He knew what to do, and he did it. Now, it doesn't tell us how he felt, because it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he did the right thing. We watched God work, and God got the glory, didn't he? And so we want our lives, we want people around us to look at our lives and say, man, if God saved someone like me, he could save someone like you, right? And they give God the glory, right? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for such an amazing story. That sometimes we look at our problems, Lord, and we say, oh, Lord, do you see what I'm going through? And yet, you sent an angel to shut the mouth of a roaring lion. And you protected your servant. And so, Lord, let us have that faith, that trust, that enduring faith, that in spite of the circumstances around us, that we would not compromise. Help us today by the power of your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.